timeline.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
It's a crazy process. They told me it was a lot like MSCA, but it's like 7 years long.
All right, we'll have to spend another meeting on it because it's reinforced.
Which
classic
is
this? The state library. The project costs are very long.
So I'm just trying to get going. I'm expecting two more folks. Mark will not be joining us tonight. Scott will be on. I actually thought you were away for school break, so.
No, I wasn't feeling well Tuesday night. And I didn't realize it was a budget, like the mayor's budget.
We don't have to.
She's
not feeling well. No,
yeah.
We don't want to.
I feel okay.
Is the recording on? We just recorded all of that.
Great.
Okay. So this is a scheduled meeting of the city budget. And joining me at the table this week, I'm going to need actually an agenda in front of me, but joining at the table this evening so far, our counselors Albright from Ward 2, Bristol Glazer, Ward 3, Lenny Gentile, Ward 4. Leonard Gentile?
No. Oh, never mind.
I think, okay. Joe Lappin, Ward 8, and myself, Jeff Crossley, Ward 5, and we are joined as well by our clerk, Nadia Khan, and the assistant city clerk, Shauna Sullivan. I'm going to begin with, we have one item to deliberate, an appropriation, and then we'll go into budget. We'll start with item number 141-16. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $160,000 from free cash for the purpose of funding the cost of operation and maintenance of the Aquinas facility for FY 2016. We have on our desk a breakdown of the funds that comprise this item. We're joined by Commissioner Josh Moore. And I'm just going to let you take it away and explain to us what this is.
Sure. Let me start by saying we identified a bit of a process issue when it comes to backup. We're sending it out, but it's not making its way to Shauna. We recognized it after, actually, I spoke with you earlier. Mm-hmm. I went back and looked because I knew we submitted backup. So anyway, long story short, you will correct that. Shauna will get copies when we send stuff to the mayor's office so she can have that in the queue and ready to go. So I apologize.
Great. Okay. So... can you explain these costs to us? The question is, why now?
Yep, so big picture, my budget last year was set before we bought the Aquinas School. So I was the department in charge of this, and that's a very large building, a lot of utility costs. The building that wasn't fully used for quite a few years, so some of these things, like the heating system, required some work in order to keep that thing going. The roof had, as folks may remember, part of the, when we first looked at it, the roof is in rough shape, so there were quite a few roof leaks. The boilers were original to the building. The back of one of the boilers fell off, so that was an issue. It wasn't pretty. Actually, the first time I've almost pulled a fire alarm before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big thing with utilities. If the building's 100,000 square feet, it hasn't, it's like a time capsule from an energy standpoint. The bulbs, I haven't seen anything like it. 1,200 watt bulbs
They're not on, right?
No, those aren't on, but even just the general classroom, which is where, we're currently at. Fire's also on the other end of the building. Keeping all the heating systems running, because we couldn't drop the building temperature too low, and you start to get cracking, and there's a host of other issues that come into play. A lot of other things like security systems. We didn't have one when we bought the building, so I had to get basic security. I had to change locks, and there's a lot of doors. Custodial, we just got to keep the place clean because we are operating out of the building. And then asbestos, because of those roof leaks, the water fell onto the tiles, asbestos tiles and pops, so we wanted to make sure that when we turn the building over this fall for the preschool that we're leaving it or we're presenting a building that's in good shape. Or at least stable condition. That's kind of big picture. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions?
So how much of this has already been done?
So we've been absorbing it out of our budget. We have, you know, like one of the large line items that we have in our budget is the water sewer for the pool. So we've been absorbing that within our budget as we could. And Maureen said early on when we bought the property, let me know when you get to a point where you need to do a supplemental appropriation in order to cover these costs. So that's how we ended up at this point.
So these have all been done or just some?
Yes, these have all been done. And when I should say that the utilities is projected out. So that's going to cover us for the rest of the year.
And FISCOM is what?
Security.
It's security. Okay. And additional is just?
Additional is all the little things that I talked about that add up. The locks, you know, some lights are out. The next year lights are out. Just general safety security. We had to do some data drops just because we had, you know, phone and some computers.
Okay, as I mentioned at the school budget, I do think that that should be part of the school budget. The utility, the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a decision that I think Maureen made a couple of years ago. That's something we have a chance of discussing maybe tonight.
Well, I mentioned it at the school budget the other night, but
yeah. No, I realize that.
But she had agreed to put an additional page in the back of the budget book next year that includes all of the school-related funding, because we've got about 16% of our of the municipal side budget.
Yeah.
So, but we've been pretty good about putting everything that belongs in budgets in the right budget. So,
okay.
Not that if that wasn't there, you still would have to come to us. So at least we have something to pull it from, I guess.
I just would have been here sooner. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
All right. Susan?
I think
mine was the additional. Thank you.
Okay. So then this is for everything that you didn't have, end up having to pay for any of that out of your budget, is it right? You got reimbursed for the part of it that you did absorb, or no?
I basically fronted what you see here, and then this, if approved, would
project down.
Yep.
And all of this is in the, except for, I guess, the water. Is water in the utilities? So I don't know if water in the
water.
So all of that is now in the school department budget for next year?
It is going to be, yeah, let's hope so. No, it's definitely in the school department budget. They're taking over. We do have to work out the fire headquarters is operating out of the convent, so they'll be paying for a small percentage of the utility cost, but they're basically a prorated cost. But, yes, later. Did you answer your question?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, there were none of the operating costs were included in the original money that we appropriated for the building.
No,
because I know usually Maureen, like with the school building project, the houses that we bought at Service, Parkview, and Cabot, she anticipated those things and put them into the budget. So there was nothing in there for to carry it.
No.
Okay.
Anybody else?
So we have to move approval, I guess.
Yes. So I'll move approval.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve by Councilor Albright. All in favor? Unanimous. Okay, present.
Thank you. Okay.
Just one quick thing for finance, where I think you had to replace some rugs in there because there was some water damage besides the leak in the roof.
Yep.
How did that get, who ends up having to pay for that? You didn't pay for that, did you?
No, so what we ended up doing there, because the rugs that were wetted were in where the fire headquarters was moving into, that was part of the temporary cost associated with that project.
Okay. So,
did you vote?
Yes, we did.
You voted yes.
All right, so we have three items basically that I'll roughly read into the record that are going to be what we're going to speak to when we're going to hear a presentation from Josh on public building budget. It's 288-15.2, which is the middle of the FY2017 municipal and school operating budget. 288-15, the middle of the FY17 capital improvement plan. and 288-15 Parent 4, supplemental of the FY 2017 through 2021 Supplemental Capital Improvement Plan. So with that, I'm just going to let John take it away.
Okay. And when Councilor Lenny gets here, feel free to let him ask about my children. I thought about the fact that it was a year ago tonight that I found out, just before my budget presentation, that Lily needed heart surgery.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh,
yeah.
I remember.
Thinking
that.
About that this morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They're doing well.
Yes, yeah.
I think that should be on the record.
All right. So, big picture tonight, you know, it's kind of funny. I struggled a little bit with what I was going to talk about because we spent quite a bit of time talking about the CIP a few weeks back. And so, to that end, I don't intend on going into great detail on the capital projects, but of course I will answer any questions that folks have. So what I will touch on is there's two kind of changes that have happened over the last couple of weeks, not changes, but developments. The fire station project went to the design review committee. It was reviewed and approved conditionally to go out for bid. There were three items that they wanted us to further evaluate. One was a lighting control system that is just more than what we want or need. So that's something we're going to be working with our designers on. The other was, and this is a little different, but they had asked that we just pay close attention to the installation of the heated driveway, which, again, I have Tom Mooney, my project manager, is on there every minute that they're working. So we will have eyes on target on that. And then the last issue that they asked us to go back and verify was that they wanted to know for stormwater, specifically the drain at the bottom of the drive, what it was designed to from a capacity standpoint. We know that the requirement is a 100-year storm. We asked NHTSA to go back and see what their calcs were. My experience with any engineer is that they always design in a buffer. So normally the design standard is 125% of whatever it is you're designing to. We want to lock that down and take a look at that situation to make sure that we don't get into a situation where on a heavy rain we have water pouring into the fire station itself. So kind of important. That's the fire station project. I will say also that I am reviewing the plans quite a bit myself. Our Commodore is already reviewing the plans to check for kind of constructability and make sure that we take an accurate build of what's on paper. And again, as I mentioned a few weeks back, I will not allow the project to go out to bid until my staff and Commodore is fully comfortable that it's ready to get out there. So that's the fire station project. The Cabot School project, as many of you probably have heard, we're taking a brief pause to kind of collect our thoughts and see if there's another option on the table that could meet the educational program that may better locate the gym within the property. At this point, we are moving quickly to identify if that option exists and will it work. And then at the same time, we're going to be working in the coming five weeks, with MSBA to determine if there is any impact to our schedule, and if so, what it is. We will also be working with our designers and our OPM to start crafting that schedule. Should we decide to make that change. And I think that because the biggest question, I think, from the public is going to be, what's this due to our schedule? The next biggest question is going to be, what's this due to our budget? So those are things that we're going to be answering over the next week, and then information will be forthcoming to everyone. So that's the big picture, kind of the biggest things that have changed over the last couple of weeks. Again, at the end, if folks want to ask other questions about capital projects, I'm happy to go back and talk about that. So, that said, I'm going to roll through some bullet points here, and feel free to jump in after each bullet point, or if you want to wait till the end, that's fine too. Personnel, we're in a really good spot. We have a couple open positions in our trades, a carpenter and a plumber. They are posted. They are challenging positions, especially when the construction business is booming right now. Very difficult to attract and then also keep individuals in the trades because, you know, I know from signing the bills at Anger, these guys make a pretty penny on the outside. So on that front, I feel that we're staffed up very well. I do want to point out, as was pointed out to me, on our org chart, there was one thing that I missed. Our capital analyst position has been eliminated. That, you know, and the workload from that has been kind of dispersed amongst other departments, ourselves included. It's really, you know, that person, as folks may remember, was responsible for looking and helping to generate the CIP. It was administrative, but also, you know, collecting all the information from the different departments. And we felt, you know, as a city, that this could be achieved in a slightly different way. So, and then the other part of personnel is just that we're in a good spot. You know, we had a lot of hires over the last 3 or 4 years, and now we're at a point where folks have been here long enough that they know the systems, they know the players, they know who to talk to, they know what to communicate and when to communicate it. The learning curve has been steep, but now that we have a crew of project managers that really know the city and know what we're, you know, what we're looking for, we're in a really good spot in that front. The other thing that I think is great is I have a lot of people that really like to come to work. I mean, they enjoy their job. They're excited about it. I have people that come in on weekends just because they want to, not because anybody's asked them to. You know, or drive by to check on a job because they're working on a Saturday, and nobody says boo. They're not asking for compensation or comp time. They just really like being here. And the other thing that I think is great is they're just, a lot of people have become just good friends, both inside and outside of work. So we've got a very cohesive unit in the building department, and I think it shows, in my opinion, in the work that we do. So maintenance and operations is kind of the next big thing that I wanted to talk about. One of our initiatives is to stand up preventative maintenance program. And specifically, what we tried to do over the last 4 or 5 years is to start bringing in service contracts to address different things, whether it be, you know, elevators or fire protection systems. Actually, that's a great one to put out there. We just recently, with the transition in fire prevention, with Jeff Knight leaving and others coming on board, we felt that it was prudent both for them and for us to put out a service contract, which will be going out in the next few weeks, for fire alarm work. Sometimes fire prevention we get in just over the head, which is too much work. And not only will this allow them to be able to offload work if they need to based on the demand, but it also improves response time for everybody. And this could be simple things like a pull station, it could be phone lines for the time of the fire alarm system. You know, we need to get smoke detectors covered. There's all kinds of different things that come up every day. So that's going to be a very useful tool. The other thing is that there's a ton of inspections that have to occur. You know, all your hood fans in your kitchens, all of your ansel systems, all of your sprinkler systems, your dry systems. The list goes on and on. Air compressors, everything has to be inspected and tagged and reports written. So I think that having something like this is going to be critical. The other thing is the timing. As many of you know, with the projects we're doing, we're installing, you know, fire protection systems where there weren't fire protection systems. So there's an increased demand, and I think it's just not possible or realistic to expect that fire prevention is going to be able to do all of that work when all 80-something of our buildings are fully sprinkled in a fire alarm system. It's massive. But what more critical a system maintain than fire alarm system? So that's just one example of an area that we're looking to increase our preventative maintenance on to make sure that these systems are operating when you need them to. The other thing is that they've become more complicated too. Not everything is a wet system. You know, the Jackson Homestead is a prime example. You have a combination of different systems over there. And, you know, when you're talking about some of these chemical systems or dry systems, it's not as simple as, you know, a pressure test to make sure the system's going to work when you need it to. It's much more technical. So the other thing that we've done, big picture, as many folks know, our craftsmen work predominantly in the schools. So most of their time is spent working in the schools, and what that does is it means that there's not as much time for them to address our municipal buildings. What we've started to do is try to balance that out a little better. What it means is that there's going to be more work that's outsourced for the school department, so it's a higher cost to them. But in all fairness to the other 55 municipal buildings, it's important that we're utilizing some of our time on those buildings as well. You know, prime example is what we're doing over at 25 Chestnut Street. We've got a lot of work going on over there right now. I was just there this morning. Our roofers are wrapping up their work. We had our crane out, which was a nightmare with the bank, but they've been very patient and nice to us.
Is this the police center?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then our interior work, we got our interior walls exposed. So I think very shortly, probably in the next week or two, bring in one of our waterproofing companies to take a look at that. Bill Ferguson has done a wonderful job with the HVAC system over there. That's online now. That was a big project. As folks may remember, the old system was pulling in next to the parking lot and it's off, and it was bad. It was a hot mess. But Bill Ferguson got all of that online up over there. Folks are very happy. It's worked out extremely well. At the same time that we're fixing a lot of the sins of the past in the basement specifically, it's going to provide the police an opportunity to take a look at where they put personnel. There's been a little cramped over at the police headquarters, but also Chief McDonald, it gives them an opportunity to take a look at how this entire department operates, and is there a smarter way to cluster people to improve efficiencies within his department. So we've been working quite a bit with the police department on that front. Another couple of examples of city projects where we've been able to start to use our staff more for these things. Police garage over in the evidence area, there were some just general security issues. It was in tough shape, water infiltration. We were able to utilize our forces to go in and address all of the issues that they had over there. I'm not saying it's state-of-the-art. They certainly would love to have a brand new police station, but it's certainly improving upon the condition that they have. Folks may be aware we've done quite a bit of work in City Hall in a number of different areas. That's another one where we brought in our workforce to take care of that. But also on the workforce, it's important to know our limitations and things that we can do and how the things we can't. Folks may be aware that we're doing the customer service project. I just got the second of three quotes in today, so we'll be looking to start that work soon. That's something where, and again, no offense to my guys, but it's very kind of in your face. It's right in the rotunda. Everybody's going to see it. That's something where I think it needs to be done and done right with a lot of detailed work to make sure that it doesn't look like an afterthought. So also knowing your limitations when it comes to stuff that we physically do. There's things that it's just not smart. You get over the years and you lose guys, knees, backs. You know, there's a reason that you have moving companies. They have the equipment and the personnel to do these things. So we really try to get out of that business of doing things that long-term really hurt the city. And it's beyond the building department. If we have guys that are going out on disability, the financial implications for the city are huge. So knowing our limitations has been important. And I'm actually going to jump because I think maintenance and operations and the school inspections of the fire and IC is very...
Could you give us a sense of quantity on how you're balancing in-house staff and specific example? In past years, you've told me and others have told me that at least some huge number, like 90% of the building staff is actually used in the school building. What are you balancing it toward?
I think my goal is going to be 50-50. I think that's fair. That's up for discussion, but that's where I kind of like to get to, especially keeping in mind the schools have 23 buildings, you have 55. Now, there's a much bigger, obviously, but all of those 55 buildings have roofs and windows and boilers and bathrooms, everything. Correct. I think historically it's been a 90-10 split. I'd say where we're at now is probably closer to 75-25. And I also recognize the fact that if I were to do this overnight, I think it would be a lot of people upset. So I'm trying to help them transition. And it also, by doing that, it allows the school department time to look at how they can manage their budget and manage their resources. So, I think it's in the best interest of both sides to try to do this slowly.
Okay.
And that's not to say, like, if there's an emergency, we respond to emergencies, certainly. So.
Okay. So folks have a couple questions specific to this area,
sure.
Harold and Susan.
On that, 75% of their time, those people's time is spent in the school.
Yes.
And do you charge them back?
No, unless it's on overtime.
Okay. That's another expense that we would like.
It was
90
last year.
It's crazy. Well, it's one thing if you're doing it and it's coming out of their budget, but then you don't have a budget to, the other 55 buildings.
So when I talk about So what you're talking about is labor time. So it's not that I don't have a budget to do it, it's that I don't have the man hours to put into the municipal building. So it's a little different, but it is, I mean, I do know what you're getting at. So.
Yeah, well, if you had enough man hours, you would have more men, which would cost more money, right? So.
Well, I would put it this way. If the painter's not painting at Countryside, the painter's painting at City Hall or, you know, one of the park buildings.
Right.
So.
Well, wait a minute. I thought you charged your shot of maintenance.
I thought you did, too.
Only for overtime and material.
When did that change? Because we used to bill them for, you know, all the time that your staff spent in the school.
That's since I've been here.
Well, and you're talking about properly accounting for
right.
school versus
right.
building,
and,
so
and so currently it was 16% of the city side budget, 16% of the school, but apparently that doesn't include, all that includes is overtime. Okay.
Because there was a time when they had their own craftsmen in
right.
the school department
right.
budget,
yeah.
you know, specifically in the school, because my husband did it for like 40 years.
Yeah.
So
I think they have one now.
How long ago did this?
I had one more question.
Order here.
The other question is customer service on the CIC? I mean, I've seen City Hall improvements.
No, customer service was less than 75. It was probably less than 75.
Less than 75. So not going to cost more than 75.
No, it's around 50.
Oh, okay. So it's on there. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's
try to. Oh, I did one more.
No,
I did. Thank you.
So, their level funding charter maintenance, and they're spending 75% of your staff time doing the school board. And you'd like to get it to 50%, and you have their level funding with charter maintenance. So I think there's a problem there coming. I mean, you're gonna have, it's gonna be hard. They're gonna push back on you hard because they don't have extra money.
They will.
So there might be a very shortfall in the area of maintenance coming up.
Well, the other thing that I will say is that I know that I believe almost every year charter maintenance has. They've gone back for other money, not for the council, but within their own budget. So I know that Mike Cronin has to go to Sandy on a regular basis, almost every year, to say, you know, I need a supplemental appropriation to cover that, similar to what we do.
Huh. I think we should know that.
I do remember that last year, and I couldn't attend the school presentation this year, but last year Sandy gave a very in-depth presentation or answer to a question about charter maintenance and talked about the utility savings they were achieving all was going into charter maintenance. And I don't know where they take it from now, but yeah. It might be good to get that answer again this year, find out where it's going.
Yeah, and related to that, the school people told us that the backlog is pretty good. I mean, they're staying pretty good up to date.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it on the city side with backlog and on?
So it's pretty good. And the reason it's pretty good is we don't receive a large volume from the city side. We do get work orders. But, for instance, if you take a building like Auburndale Cove, there's one of the Parks and Rec people is responsible for a number of buildings. There's not somebody that's living or working out of that building on a day-to-day basis year-round. So we don't get nearly as many work orders for a building that's 1,200 square feet as you would for a building that's 60,000 square feet. Not to say that there aren't needs in all of those 55 buildings, but the work orders come in and we address them. If their work order comes in that's a capital project, then it gets put on the CIP. If a work order comes in that's bigger than a maintenance item, but not a capital project, we look at our less than 75. You know, oil tanks is a prime example. So
in terms of not the big capital projects, but the smaller ones, how far behind are you?
It's not necessarily behind. I would look at it. It's not our maintenance system that you would find that at. It's our building assessment. Everything that was less than 75. There's a long list there. I believe it was close to $2 million. Worth of items that are less than 75,000. I use that list when I'm preparing my less than 75 for my budget each year. And then some of the things get addressed through the budget itself. You know, because there's some things that can't wait. If you get a major tear in a roof, and you have to replace a section of the roof and it's $15,000, I can't say no. I can't let the water just pour in, so I fix it.
So how much is the less than 75 in this year's budget?
$150,000.
Oh, not so much against the $2 million.
That one I didn't have to change in the entire time I've been which isn't, you know, it's only 6 years. I don't know how, if it's changed in the entire time of how the Gentiles have been here.
But you know, it's been there before.
Yeah, there was nothing there.
It's pretty new. So I want to first, for the record, say that we've been joined by Councilor Danberg from Ward 6 and President Lennon from Ward 1. And Cheryl had one more question, and then Vicki would like to speak. You're all set.
Jeff Knight is no longer here.
Correct.
So are you replacing him?
Well, Jeff Knight's in fire.
In fire. Are they replacing him?
Yes. Yeah, I believe they promoted from within, and then they're hiring.
Okay, and the capital analyst, you're not going to miss?
No. Well, Jack
Allen
was really nice guy.
So somebody in your department's going to take that over, or is financial information services
going to? It's going to be a combination. It's going to be, because what Jack was doing was he was pulling the information for the CIP from all the different departments, organizing it, generating the document, analyzing the financial trends. So it's going to be a combination. There's going to be folks from the financial end that will handle that. Each department will handle getting their information to the CIP. So it's going to be spread across multiple departments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize for coming a little bit missing the beginning of this, but and you may have gone over this, but where are you as far as positions filled in your department?
Okay. I did cover that, but I will say it briefly again. We're missing two tradespeople, a plumber and a carpenter. Those positions are posted. One of them was we had a person retire. Another one, we hired somebody. They got offered three times what they made here, so they left. But those positions are posted, and we will get them filled as soon as possible. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is the process by which the switch from 90% to 75%, 75% down to 50% happens? How does that, it causes some pain on the school end that needs to be filled because it thinks that they need done, will have to get done. How does that happen?
So the work orders get submitted by the custodians in the schools. They get approved by operations. Paul Anastasi, who works in Mike Cronin. When they get approved, they automatically get routed to us. Steve Regan, who works for me, makes a determination whether or not that's something that our craftsmen should do or whether it's something that a contractor should do. In this case, it's as simple as talking to Steve and looking at the types of things that come in and determining where items should go to contractors and where they shouldn't. And the other part that we try to do is all these contractors are at different rates. So one of the things that we can do to try to soften the blow on the school department side is try to address the items that we can in-house that would be more expensive if they were outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we can change the percentage, but not necessarily impact them as much financially.
Mm-hmm. And has the school department, does anybody here know whether the school department has changed their budget to reflect the fact that
they have not? But I think you were in the room when we talked about the fact that they go often into their budget for additional supplemental
funds to
augment their charter maintenance line item when they need to.
Yeah. And that's going to be able to be done satisfactorily this year?
We don't know.
Well, we just went from 90% to 75%.
Yeah. What's the final goal on that percentage?
I'd like to get to a 50-50 split.
Okay.
But again, there's going to be a threshold for pain, so it's going to have to be a conversation that we have. And Mike and I talk all the time. So,
are you looking to do that in 1 year or over a period of a longer time?
I would say over the next couple of years. I don't want to do it all at once. I think it would be too painful.
Okay.
Tell Mike that if he keeps sticking it to our local sports group in terms of fees, that's going to get to 50% a lot quicker than you have to do. Okay?
I'll deliver that message.
Deliver that message.
I think we might need a separate meeting on this very
What? Did this come up before?
No, I'm not a
bank.
I wanted to, I know you have more to present,
yep.
But I wanted to mention something regarding personnel that I think is pertinent to the budget discussion, and I was pleased to see how well staffed you are now. And I actually had some time to go through the numbers, and both in total and pretty much in every position that's been continuously filled, you pretty much have a 2.6% increase across the board. And I personally think for this department, it's well-deserved. People are working very hard. But I was pleased to see that. I haven't gone through the rest of the budget to see where that's coming from, but I don't know. With that, I just want to mention now that we have a fuller complement of counselors here. So at the beginning, Josh did very quickly go over the large capital projects because he was here a couple of months ago, or a week ago, to give us a fairly in-depth report. With that, I think you have two more subject areas to cover, Design Review Committee and School Inspections, in reverse order, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to jump over to School Inspections with Fire and ICA. I actually probably should have put this at the top because this is game-changing. What we have started is kind of an internal working group with our law department, our fire department, inspectional services, and when I say these different departments, it's department heads, but it's also boots on the ground in each of these departments, and myself. And the intent of this is to really start looking at our inspections that our inspectional services does and making sure that we're following through on all of the items that they identify. It's big. It is very, very massive. And we kind of break it up into three categories. There's things that need to be addressed immediately. There's things that need to be put into our work order system and addressed when we can. And then some of these things are capital projects, this large, large project that we need to roll into our CIP. So Mike Cronin attends these meetings. It's been very, very productive. It has really kind of opened everybody's eyes to the different challenges that everyone is facing. It opens everyone's eyes to kind of the liabilities that we have out there and allows us to prioritize how we address these issues. And it really also has kind of brought everybody together. The communication is infinitely better. Everybody has worked really hard to make things easier. For instance, ISD and Fire have set up a permit process where we can accelerate permits to address these issues. When my electrician hears that there's an open breaker panel, he's not going through a lengthy process to try to pull a permit to go address the issue. We have a direct connection with Ed Mullen, who works in ISD. He takes care of all of our school projects. Captain Banal over at Fire Prevention takes care of all of the stuff on his end. And we're all talking on at least a monthly basis at these meetings, but to be quite honest, it's more like a couple times a week, if not some of them daily. That's going to be, I think it's going to pay great dividends in making our schools safer, cleaner, because to be quite honest, a lot of this is just general housekeeping. Pallets of paper, they're blocking egress ways, or, the gym mat that gets stacked up at the double doors in the back of the gym. We're focusing on, obviously, like safety, but places of assembly, wanting to make sure that those areas, that the egress ways are open and clear and easy to get out of. At the same time, we've been working with Jeannie Fairley, our accessibility coordinator. She's been looped into this as well, and we're really starting to make headway on accessibility in the different in the schools. The nice thing that Jeannie's brought to the table is that she has a very practical approach to this. The code is the code, but sometimes the code doesn't make sense, and sometimes you need to go above and beyond, and in other ways you have to get creative. She really has a good sense as to what we need to do and how we need to achieve it. Even simple things like door hardware, where, this is a fully ADA compliant door handle, but when you actually dig into it, you realize that it may be compliant, but for somebody with CP, it's almost impossible to utilize. So she's been able to look at things, and she was very helpful with our City Hall elevator project in identifying things. We gave her a list of 12 different handles, and she said, well, these 11 are horrible. This one actually works pretty well. That has been extremely important, and we're going to continue that. Those meetings are permanent now, at least until our schools are perfect, which I'd like to think that we'll someday hit that, but there's always work to be done. So the other item that I had on the list is the design review committee. The DRC has been extremely helpful on a lot of our projects, but we need more bodies, and that's on us. Ultimately, I understand that the board and school committee and mayor appoint the people, but you guys are obviously way too busy to be out there trying to find qualified candidates. Unless you happen to know any, by all means, let us know. But not only do we need more people, there's specific areas of expertise that we need. The most important, in my opinion, is a civil engineer. That would be very, very helpful. I would consider the next most important thing would be a general contractor, even if it's a retired individual, because the constructability would be extremely important. That's one area that the DRC doesn't have, and they rely on, what's that?
Do we have a general contractor on Mr. Francis?
Yeah, he is. He was doing some work for the city, so had to disclose that he was bidding on some projects, so...
So he's off?
He's not off. We have to make some decisions or speak to him about if he's going to continue to go that route or if he wants to be on DRC. I give him credit because he was ensuring that there wasn't a conflict.
Yep.
You know, so.
Got it.
And even that, even if you were to come back, I would still recommend with the number of projects that we're looking at, the size of them, constructability takes a long time. I mean, Commodore has 3 people that are working every day just doing this right now. So that would be helpful. And then a landscape architect would also be very helpful. Because as many folks know, a lot of what we do in trying to minimize impact on abutters, we do through landscaping. Also softens massing, there's a lot of things in that area. And Andrea Kelly recently left after many, many years on the DRC, and that was her area of expertise. So, that's the DRC. I can't say enough of what they've done. It's been a very good process. As I mentioned before, the fire station has been challenging. There's been a lot of review by the DRC on that project. Certainly some lessons learned on that front, but I think I mentioned most of those at our last meeting. Aside from that, my budget is fairly the same as it was last year, so the numbers, I'm happy to answer questions on the numbers, but I think we're in a pretty good place, and I apologize if this didn't go real long, but...
So, I mean, I have some questions, but I'd rather open it up for the rest of you first.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No one else?
No, I have something, but you need to.
Okay. Well, I had a long and very productive talk with Josh earlier today, and I agree with him that the building department is in very good shape. I mean, after many years and some struggling, I think, you know, we've got some really good teams at work and working hard, and it's great to see. And we talked about making short work of the capital project review. But I was hoping to hear some more about maybe some of the smaller projects that are trouble spots. And we talked about a couple today. I noticed in the budget there's this section that talks about custody of surplus buildings and what that costs us. It's about $55,000. It's not a gigantic item. So it's kind of an interesting place where things like the Center Library and the Crescent Street project, the Crescent Street lot fall, which are, you know, now have been surplus and are in process. And interestingly, the Brigham House utility budget is also in there.
And the branch library.
And the branch library utility budget.
And maintenance and operation.
Of all those things.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then there's sort of some tough buildings, and you've already talked about the police annex a little bit. I don't see a lot of questions about that. I think we're probably seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on that building. And there's things like the Canard Estate, where we know we did a whole renovation at the Claflin House, and then that building got taken over by another entity, and now we have a Parks and Rec department largely in the Canard Estate, which is a building that needs a lot of work. So, you know, we're doing, and I acknowledge this with Josh today, we're doing a tremendous amount of work across the city, so I think there's a lot to be proud of here. But then there's always some things that fall through the cracks, so it's like, you know, we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about where some of these things are and how we're dealing, especially with vacant buildings. or underutilized buildings while we're waiting. Can you speak to some of that?
Sure. I'm not going to go through all 55 buildings. I don't think anybody wants that, but I'll give you some examples in any
kind of... The ones I just mentioned would be good.
Sure. So the Kanara State, Bob Rubis has, he certainly has access to school duties. He knows how to, his entire department knows how to put in work orders. They put in quite a few. We've addressed everything they've asked. There's also, obviously, the CIP. There's plenty of work in the CIP. It's quite a ways out, honestly, but... there are needs out there. I will tell you one of the short-term needs is it's actually the only city property I believe that I have control over that is on septic, so it needs to get tied into sewer. That said, I also believe that there's a developer that bought the house up above that is looking at coming in for a special permit and maybe looking to run sewer all the way up there. So through the road that runs up from Dublin.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the city then hook up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the developer actually.
Let him do it.
Yeah. Developer offices tie us in. So again, I never get involved in these things, but it was a cold call and timely. So, but yeah, there's I know Councilor Crosby has expressed an interest in doing kind of energy efficiency projects up there. I know Bill Ferguson has it on his radar. We have multiple phases of projects that we're doing. And I don't think we'll ever stop. There's always going to be something else to do from an energy perspective. Envelope projects don't tend to have great paybacks, especially when you talk about a building that, I believe the annual utility expenses are about $6,000. So, when you're talking about a good-sized project, you have to make a major impact in the annual cost in order to have a relatively decent payback. Now, that said, I also recognize the fact that there's an impact to occupants too. Although we haven't had any complaints from the folks in Parks and Rec about the temperatures at all, certainly, and I think what's a little different between that and Newton Corner is Newton Corner was a forced air system. They're actually pushing air out of the building, whereas Kanara State is a hot water system. So your air issues are not as big a deal. You do have air infiltration on the other end, but it's not as inefficient as pushing your hot air out of the building like at Newton Corner, where air sealing was obviously quite important. We also know that there's some accessibility improvements that we need to make up there. We need to get a ramp. We looked at an option to do that. It would be a relatively small ramp. I think that's something we're going to look to do in our Less Than 75 this coming year. So that's the Kanara State. I went through the police annex at our last meeting, and then I touched on it here. I'm happy to go further, but that's pretty much it. What did you mention? The building.
Crescent Street
is still occupied right now. Parks and Rec is there, so they're still going away. I was over there a few weeks ago. We're actually working on all our surveys for the upcoming project. So that's occupied, I think.
Is the plan to occupy it through another winter?
It's not going anywhere unless the way out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to drag them out there.
You see, they don't want to go.
Oh, so they love them. Okay. God bless them.
They're not going anywhere unless they have.
Please didn't take them out.
Are you living
here? They love it here. But, So that, as far as will they do another winter, I'm not sure. It's going to depend on the CPA cycle, but we'll take a look at that. If not, then obviously there's things we'll have to do for the building to winterize.
I mean, they have phone autonomy there. They're the only ones there. When they get moved up to Elliott Street, they're not going to have as much room. There's no place to go.
We're okay with that. We're saying the building's open.
Right.
Well, you have a presence, so there's somebody keeping an eye on the building and the site. And then the Newton Center building, right now it is unoccupied. There is no purpose for that building at this point. With all the other buildings and all the other needs, to be quite honest, when you talk about a building from a risk of failure, impact of failure, the impact of failure with no current use for that building is minimal compared to other buildings. I'm not saying that I hate that building. I'm not saying that there is an investment that needs to be done over there. I'm just saying when you look at all of the different needs and all of the different buildings across the city, it doesn't rank very high because it's not currently used.
But it's further deteriorating is the problem. If you're getting to a point where if we don't do something, I mean, it's been at that point actually when we lost our insurance.
So, I just want to clear that up. We didn't actually lose our insurance. The decision was made to no longer insure that building because...
No,
it wasn't that it was too expensive, and the list that I was given was actually very minimal. The decision was made because the way our insurance works is that it has to be a claim, I believe, of greater than $100,000 in order for the insurance to kick in. So that said, greater than $100,000, you're talking about a major fire. And, you know, at that point, if that building were to burn up, then we all have a big decision that we have to make as far as what the future of that building would be. So the decision, it wasn't that we got dropped, it was the insurance company said you need to do the following things in order to continue the policy, and a decision was made that it wasn't in the best interest of the city to spend that money. Not the money on the repairs, but the money on the insurance. Now, one of the repairs I did make, the flashing around the chimney that was causing the wall in that little bathroom to come down, we fixed the flashing, so there's no more water infiltration, but, I mean, certainly things like mortar joints and the vines, they continue to do damage. They do. But as far as do I think the building's going to collapse? No, I don't see for it that point, honestly.
You might want to know that day before yesterday, the Ward 6 aldermen docketed the item to change the design from public use to business one to make it match all the other properties in the area. So that we'll be taking that up very soon in zoning and planning.
Has the decision of the real property reuse committee, I understand, is still in the planning department?
In order to do an RFD, first you have to have completed the change in zoning. So we've taken the step to do the change in zoning on it. And then the RFP. As soon as we do that, then the RFP. The RFP.
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 Anybody else?
One thing. We have so many projects going on, which is amazing. And I know we got some more project managers last year. Do you have enough project managers?
Yeah. We're in good shape. Again, we have a really good balance of project managers. We have some great front-end folks, but we have some really, really, I'm very lucky to have the boots on the ground that we do. Paul Ferrolito and Tom Rooney have done an excellent job. I don't think I mentioned it at the last meeting, but Design Review and many others will tell you that, 5% contingency is what you need for new construction, 10% for an ad reno. Anger was 1%. Fire Station 10, we ended up with more money than we started with. And we've had quite a few very good successes, yes. Sometime over coffee, I'll tell you how you do that.
You're
amazing.
We ended up with more contingency. The only other thing is, at the beginning, you were talking about how your employees like to come to work and how they do things on their off time.
Yep.
And that's a direct reflection on you because that's not, that's not always normal. So thank you for being a good man.
Okay. Money?
So you have Paul Ferrolito, Tom Rooney, you have Alex, and who's your fourth person?
Ricky Caillou.
Okay. And that's who you have your four, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
Yep. And Bill Ferguson.
Right.
Which he's the energy project manager.
So you have four project managers in addition to you and Alex.
So, yes.
And Alex is doing some project management as well as
he's doing quite the
planning.
Rafi
Caillou was running the Jackson Homestead, which is done, right?
Just wrapping up. I think we're at punch list now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where's he going from there?
He's actually working on, so he's also the one that did the City Hall elevator project. He is working on the Commonwealth Golf Course, which folks may not be aware of because it's kind of a funky one. It's city land, So we have to shepherd it through designer selection and DRC. So it's no city funds, but he's helping them get through. They're doing a maintenance facility over there. They've been working on for many, many years. It's in the very, very early stages, early feasibility. And they reached out to us for some assistance to shepherd it through that process. And I kind of felt like with Rafik, where he's got the Jackson Homestead and City Hall Elevator Project, both very high profile, tough projects that might be nice to do one that doesn't have a lot of politics wrapped around it. So
the elevator's done.
Elevator's done. We got a little bit of punch list. They were here this week doing some landscaping outside, some minor touch up paint, stuff like that. But yeah, we're online, ready to go.
Great. Susan?
I just have a minor question.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the capital equipment line? It
went up a little bit there?
It goes up, but then it does different things each year.
Yeah, so what that is for the most, 99% of it is vehicles. So when a vehicle becomes due to replace, we would buy vehicles. In this case, I want to say it was a truck and three vans, so it was a large year.
Okay.
And then we typically will have a few years not needing to buy vehicles.
Okay.
So. Kind of an ebb and flow.
But that's why it's so high this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry? You?
Just put me on the list.
You're up.
Josh, thank you very much for this presentation. That if there were an area or areas that needed beef, what would they be and what would you add to?
Oh, if I were to add to the department?
Yeah. What do you need done that's taking you a little longer than
no, to be honest, it's not staffing. If I were to say what the one of the most challenging parts of the job is we have a ton of night meetings. And it's to the point now where we're picking which night meeting we go to every night.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday through Thursday, sometimes even Fridays, not obviously with the city council, but there's a lot. We staff over, 27 committees and commissions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot out there. And then you throw in.
It's on Friday.
Oftentimes, because it's the only night that we have free, we'll have meetings like with Commodore or other GCs.
Oh,
to try.
Job meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at night? Yep. Yeah. They don't go late, obviously, if we start them late afternoon, but the Fridays tend to be lighter days when it comes to schedule.
Yeah.
And,
you
know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish. No. But. You know, that's just, but I would never complain about it because I've been on the other side of that, and that is when I first started, the only thing going on in the city was Newton North High School. So, yeah, there weren't a lot of meetings here, but we weren't doing a heck of a lot in the city either. So, far be it for me to complain when I was sitting there wondering why we're not investing more in our building. And now we are. It's just a product of the success of the community. So.
Do
you want to
hire a nice meeting person?
Yeah. No. It's also, I have to know. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said before, and that is that now that I have project managers that have been here long enough and understand it, I trust the number of them to cover these meetings where I don't need to go to everyone. And same thing with Alex. We try our best to balance our schedules. And if you're at a DRC meeting and it goes to 11:30 at night and, Bill Ferguson is in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, I have to be reasonable, but I can't expect him to be back up here, at 7 a.m., which is when he starts his work day. So I don't think there's necessarily a staff person that I would hire for any of that. It's just something we need to manage, and we'll make do.
Okay.
I have a comment and a final question for me. Again, talking about boards and commissions, back to design review.
Mm-hmm.
I just really wanted to give them a plug. I know we're missing some talent in the group, but there is tremendous talent on the group, and they work. Their work is so important. I'm amazed when I read through the memos that they send to one another, enumerating as they're going through the drawings and the specifications, what lines up, what doesn't line up, where a change order might happen if you don't make this, cross connection from one place to another. They really get into the details. And it's very impressive that we have this group.
They're priceless. I can't say enough for them either.
Yeah. I mean, they're very generous, hugely generous with their time, especially with all of the projects going on now. So if there's, the council
appoints members to that body as well. Do we have empty seats?
I don't think so. I'd have to know.
I don't think so.
None of the people were folks that we appointed.
And one of them was the guy you're talking about.
Yeah,
but it's technically Indian.
He's still
in the
field. Yeah.
So we're just going to ask if he's continuing down the road of, you know, the city work or, you know, we do have work. So, yeah.
So what do we do if you need a bigger group? How do we...
there are some empty seats.
There are empty seats, yeah. I just have to see who they're actually appointed by.
Okay, so we could probably check that out.
You only have
the mayor. Is
we only have three or four.
We have three, the mayor has three, or three or four, I forgot, and the school committee may have one.
Could it be a bigger group?
But there's 12 of them.
Is that what you're saying?
12 people.
Well, they're missing.
If we have 12, that's more than
that's
20.
Okay.
It's a tough, I mean, keep in mind that the type of people that we want to attract are people that really know what they're talking about, and those kinds of people are working professionals, unless we happen to find somebody that's retired and wants to do it. They have busy lives, but...
I actually think we might have a little bit.
Really?
Hmm. Well, we should probably put the word out. There's professional organizations in Newton, too, who, you know, wanted some of us to do some digging, but it's terrific that we have them. I'm so impressed with the work they do. And then I do have one final question. You and I talked about earlier as well, and I don't know if you were able to come up with anything in the interim. In the budget, it shows, in this document, I'm forgetting where, but it shows that we're completing some preferred vendor work this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're not starting anymore the way it's worded.
Yeah.
It appears there's a year gap. And so, did you find out anything about that?
So, basically, it's exactly what I mentioned on the phone, and that is that because... So, if folks remember, our first phase, we bonded a couple million dollars. The second phase, we used capital energy stabilization account. And right now, with looking at it, our next phase would be through the capital energy stabilization account. With completing projects like Anger and our fire stations, there's a lot of rebate checks that are coming in and going that direction. In addition, we get the rebate checks from our phase two energy preferred vendor program as well. So, those will also be going in there. So the reason why we pushed that a little bit is because we can't say exactly when all that money will hit the account. But I'm greedy when it comes to these projects. So as soon as I see that there's enough to keep going, we will be right back at the table asking for it. So.
Okay. Anybody else? I suppose what we should...
We normally do a straw vote.
So all those who... might be in favor of passing this section of the budget when it comes time to do so. Say aye. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we are
good.
Good.
I didn't want to.